Amen. That was very Presbyterian-like, don't you think? Very orderly. The choir has found some room out here to be seated with their family members. Well, I think we can say at this moment in time, glory, hallelujah, we have made it. Christmas is here. The sun has set on Christmas Eve Day. And what's left but the joys of Christmas morning, the wonder of it all. Are you guys excited or what? I don't know. Okay, good. We can see some hands there. So what is it that thrills us about Christmas? Why do we look for it? Why do we watch for it? Why do we anticipate it? Let's be honest. What is it? I thought I heard somebody say it. Was that a kid back there? It's the gifts, of course. Praise the Lord for the gifts. We love gifts. We especially love to receive gifts. But let's be honest with ourselves here in Peachtree City, Georgia in 2018. We're a spoiled lot, aren't we? We're a spoiled people. We are surrounded by things, things, things. And if we were really honest about it, the gifts that we received even last Christmas, I wonder, is anybody still cherishing and loving and enjoying and delighting in a gift that you got last year? Anybody? Maybe a few. But if we were to go back 5 years or 10 years, come on, those gifts are long gone. They're in a landfill somewhere. We're spoiled. But the reality is our sinful hearts, they wrestle and they look for the next thing to satisfy us. We long for satisfaction. But you see, tonight we worship the greatest gift ever given. And we shouldn't just worship this greatest gift only on Christmas Eve or only on the Lord's Day, but we should worship the greatest gift each and every day of our lives. And we don't just worship the greatest gift, but we also worship the greatest gift giver. And we worship the greatest gift bringer. We worship the triune God. That's what it means to be alive in Christ. Glory, hallelujah, the greatest gift ever given. It doesn't require batteries. And we don't have to put it together at 2 a.m. in the morning. What a joy. It never fades. It never loses its wonder and its power. But you know, our response to this gift fades and changes and ebbs and flows, doesn't it? As we consider the great gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, because of our sinful hearts, we do need to humble ourselves like little children and come back again and again and again to the story of truth, the marvelous gospel story of God the Father giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I want us to reflect upon the gospel from the perspective of the angels and the shepherds, even as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great gift. And I want us to ponder three gospel words as we meditate upon Christmas, this Christmas Eve. I want us to think about watching and witnessing and walking. These three gospel words, these watchwords for us tonight on Christmas Eve. Well, our first word, watching for the gospel gift. We see this in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds. They were out in the hillsides of Judea. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. That's what we read. You know that, right? But we're so far removed from Judea in the first century and shepherds. But come on, with that glorious gift of imagination, let's try, if we can, tonight and enter into their reality and their story and try to identify with what was taking place that night, to walk in the sandals of the shepherds, to think about that night. It was clear. It was cold. It was a dark night. And it was just another long, hard night of watching. For these shepherds, what were they watching for? Were they watching for the Christ? Were they watching for the great gift? No, they were watching for wolves and for lions and for those that would steal their sheep. What a difficult job. What a boring and lonely job, and yet at moments punctuated with fear, terror, violence. Well, these shepherds were left most nights in the solitude of their thoughts and their feelings, and they were wrestling with the big questions of life, the reality that life in this world is a life of brokenness and a life of pain. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And you know, it's no different today. We live in a world of broken hearts with broken men and women, people that are given over to sin and violence and hatred. It's the same today as it was back then. And you know, even today, it's the same in the sense as there are somebodies and there are nobodies. And you see, these shepherds, they were nobodies. They really were nobodies in the eyes of their culture. Shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were maybe one step above lepers. They were ceremonially unclean. They lived with the sheep. They slept with the sheep. They smelled like sheep. They couldn't keep the ceremonial laws, the Mosaic laws. They couldn't testify in a court of law. They could not come into the temple and worship their Creator God. They were nobodies. Well, these nobodies, as indicated in the text, were not told that they were special or righteous men in the eyes of the Lord. They weren't better than any other shepherds. No, they were these shepherds that were keeping watch over their sheep by night. But glory, hallelujah, even as they were watching their sheep, the great heavenly shepherd king was watching over them and their lives. You know, Luke highlights this encounter that shows the heart of God in motion towards his people that includes the poor and the nobodies. And in the eyes of the world, the despised. God's for his people of all types. In the economy of God's grace, there are no nobodies. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he came preaching and teaching the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to set the prisoners free. But isn't it amazing that what man calls unclean and unworthy, the nobodies, God chooses to lavish with his gospel grace and his message of peace? Does that thrill your soul tonight on Christmas Eve as you contemplate this truth? You know, many people say about themselves, God wouldn't want me, I've sinned too much, I'm a nobody. But God's word is clear. He delights to redeem the unredeemable. He loves to show compassion and mercy to the greatest sinners. He declares that in his word. So take heart tonight. The gospel call is for all of us. The Lord will cover us. He's the great Savior, the great giver of peace. But you know, the default of our hearts really isn't joy, is it? The default of the heart of humankind, it's not to rejoice, but it's really to complain and to lament and to natter. You know what nattering is, right? Negative chatter. You know, you didn't have to teach your children to complain or to lament. Oh, woe is me. You didn't have to teach them to do that. That's part of being a fallen human being in this world. Because the reality is, just like these shepherds, we all eventually come face to face with this truth that it's hard in this world. It's a world of disappointments and brokenness, and it's true. Each and every human being knows that something is wrong. We all know that there's a sin problem in this world. Even the hardest heart knows that the human heart is disjointed. There's something wrong. And perhaps you're here tonight and you feel lost and you feel like you're just going through the motions and you're just following the same pattern in your life of disappointments driven by fear again and again and again. And nobody seems to understand you and nobody really, really seems to care. Well, take heart. The Lord of love, he understands you. He cares. And he's done something amazing about your problem and my problem. Take heart. The shepherd king, he watches over this world of his love. Well, here you are tonight on Christmas Eve. You're awake and you're watching, and the Lord would have you to see something very specific that we dare not miss in the wonder of this gift. Well, what is that? It's the gospel gift itself. And that's our second watchword tonight as we consider the glories of God's gift to us in Christ Jesus. The word is witnessing, witnessing the gospel gift. Don't we see that in verses 9 to 14 of this wonderful story about the shepherds and the angels? You know, the Lord suddenly shows up in glory with his angelic host on that night. What a change. The angel is in the midst of these shepherds and he says, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ. And this is the sign. Go forth and find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then the heavenly hosts declare this wonderful hymn for all eternity. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." What a dramatic change. From the quiet loneliness of a cold night in Judea to a dramatic, holy witness of the gift. Think about it. In the blink of an eye, there's a messenger of the Lord there. There's this angel there with radiant beauty, like the sun shining. Was it Michael, the archangel? Or maybe it was Gabriel. He's already been on the scene there in Luke. We don't know. We don't have the name of this angel. But this angel is like one of the seraphim or the cherubim. He's a fiery one. He's a holy one that stands in the presence of the holy God day and night doing the bidding of the Lord. He's a messenger. He comes forth from the Lord with a message. And we shouldn't be surprised by the shepherd's reaction. It's always the same when the holy comes into contact with the unholy. There's great fear and there's great terror. And we read that they were seized by a great fear. And you know, this is necessary. Because we're told in the Word of God that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It's important and it's necessary for each and every one of us to come to that understanding in the very depths of our souls that we have offended the holy God of the universe by our sinning, by our lives, by our words, by our actions, even by our sinful emotions. But interestingly enough, the word that comes forth from this Holy One isn't a word of judgment, but it's the word of peace. Fear not. And this is unlike almost every other scene in all of Scripture when an angel, a holy one, comes into contact with an unholy one. And why is that? Why do we have the declaration of peace? Fear not. Well, you see, it's because the only mediator who can stand between holy God and unholy man was born that night in Bethlehem. In the mystery and the wonder of Jesus in the arms of Mary. And so now there's the word of peace, not judgment and not terror. So praise the Lord, this angel comes with a message of grace and not judgment. And what's the heart of this gospel witness message? Isn't it the gift? Christ, the gift. We're hit with it right here. Born for you, the Savior. I think this is very interesting and very important because, you know, God doesn't make a suggestion that we might need a Savior. He doesn't say, "Born for you this day in Bethlehem, a 5-step program that will help turn your bad thinking upside down and you'll be positive and you'll make it in this world." And he doesn't say, "Given to you this day some wonderful medicine that's going to heal people so that you can make it in this world." No! It's born today a Savior. We need a Savior because we're sinners. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. the only mediator between holy God and unholy men. Well, Christ is the heart of the witness. But God doesn't start his witness with an overtone of negativity. Did you see that? You know, unfortunately, for I don't know how long, it's just part and parcel of living in a sinful world. The people that go forth and they do evangelism, oftentimes it begins on the negative and it ends on the negative, and you're wondering, why in the world would you want this negative message? But the angels come forth with this glorious, positive message of joy. The angel says, we good news you, for a Savior has been born, Christ, the Lord. I mean, can you think of anything more positive than the gift of Jesus Christ for this crazy, upside down, broken, hostile, sinful world, the Prince of Peace? What a joy, what a wonder. Well, notice that at the heart of this good news witness is Jesus with a train of names that come with him. These names show us who he is and what he does. He's the Savior. He's the perfect sacrifice because he will live that life that none of us can live. In absolute conformity to the law of God, the will of God, and all of his thoughts, all of his words, all of his actions, all of his emotions, perfectly conformed to the law, but yet enfleshed with love, so that he's the suitable sacrifice that goes forth. But he's also the Messiah, Christ, the anointed one, the one who has been given the Holy Spirit without measure so that he could go forth all the way to the cross and be held up even under the wrath of Almighty God for all the sins of his people and drink that cup to the very end and say, it's finished. He's the anointed one. And go forth to the grave, dead for sins. And yet 3 days later be raised in the power of the glory of the Spirit of God forever and ever and ever, ascended on high, and from that point on the Father and the Son pouring out the Holy Spirit upon the people of his love and grace and mercy. That's this gift, because of God the Father's gift, because of who this gift is and what he does. The angel's gospel witness is filled with these wonderful adjectives. It's not just joy, but it's a message of great joy. It's not just for people, but all the people. Well, the angel, this lone angel who announces the message, all of a sudden he's joined, isn't he, with a myriad of other angels, other fiery ones, to proclaim this wonderful, awesome message. Suddenly, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men who are objects of God's good pleasure. That's the literal Greek. Well, what kind of peace does Jesus bring? Really? Was it peace for every single human being? It can't be that, because we see not too long after this, in just a short period of time, Herod murders thousands of baby boys. It's not the Hallmark kind of peace, you know, peace on earth. It's just universal peace. That's what Jesus brings, peace in every heart, peace in every community, peace in every nation. I mean, come on, have you been watching the news? That's not what Jesus brings. No, this kind of peace is a declarative peace that is rooted in redemption, and it's for a specific people, the people of his good pleasure, so that God the Father can declare not guilty over those who are in Christ the Lord. That's what we're confronted with tonight, the justifying peace of God through his gift of peace. Think about this. It's the Lord Jesus Christ alone that can sanctify any human being so that we might stand before the Father and not be burned up in judgment. And for that to take place, there must be this awesome, amazing, miraculous work that happens for those who are the object of God's good pleasure, so that he takes a hard, broken, dead, sinful heart And by the wonder and the mystery and the glory of the Holy Spirit, turn that heart into a manger heart of living flesh that loves the Lord and receives the gift of peace that's filled with the presence of Christ. This is what it means to be the object of God's good pleasure in the Prince of Peace. It's particular. It's special. It's divine peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased because of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. God's gracious pleasure can rest upon his people. Glory, hallelujah. We have to recognize as we come to the scriptures and as we come to the reality of the gospel that indeed God is love. He loves his creation. But God is also alone the author of salvation. He's the great giver of salvation. And it's by his love and his faithfulness to his promise alone, to those he has given to the Christ, who experienced this peace. Do you know this peace tonight? Through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the amazing gift of faith in the Christ, the Prince of Peace. Well, glory, hallelujah, the gospel witness, it ignites the only proper response to the gift, doesn't it? And that response is worship. Worship. That's the response to this gift of peace. Living worship, glorious worship, worship of the Lamb who is the Lion. And that's what we see. That's what we see here tonight in the very end as we come to our final thought. You see, the watching gave way to the witnessing. And the witnessing gives way to the worshiping. And the worshiping drives a life of walking and living in and out of the gift of peace. That's what we see finally tonight. Our final thought, our final Christmas Eve gospel word is walking. Walking in the gift of peace. Don't we see that here in verses 15 to 20? You know, the angels go back up into heaven and the shepherds immediately begin to talk to one another. Of course they would. And they say, let's go straight away to see this thing in Bethlehem. And they go and they find Joseph and Mary. And most importantly, they find the Christ in the manger. And they bear witness and they glorify God. You know, I heard the message that there were going to be a lot of presents under a lot of trees for a lot of kids tomorrow morning. Did you guys get that message? Is that going to affect the way that you get up and start walking in the morning, kids? Or are you going to be like maybe your older brother who just got home from college and he sleeps like 4 or 5 hours more in the morning? No. You're probably going to be up at 5. Not just walking, but running beeline to get to the gifts, right? Well, these shepherds, they received the message of the greatest gift ever given, and they made haste to behold the gift. And I love the way we read this in the literal Greek. It says, let us go to Bethlehem and behold this word which the Lord has made known to us. Isn't it awesome how those who are transformed by the gift of the gospel, they become theologians immediately. You see, the Lord, by his word, he's made known to them, the word made flesh, and they want to go forth in the word to behold the word of life. And so they make a beeline, these shepherds do. And you know, how they handle God's word can really teach us a lot. We hear God's word read and we hear it preached and we should talk about it and we should exhort one another in it and then we should begin to live it out and walk it. Well, they not only were moving fast in their faith because of the word made known to them, but they saw everything differently. From that moment on, throughout the rest of their lives, they saw the world differently. It was no longer just this dark, gloomy world of brokenness and the grind, but the reality of redemption had shone. the glory of God in their hearts, so that there was the truth, that the message of peace would go forth. They were changed forevermore. They saw the glory of the Lord and what he was doing in the world. We can learn a lot from these shepherds. Well, we need to walk in the gospel. We need to walk in the gift, don't we? And to walk in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means to cherish the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to treasure the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And to treasure and to cherish him, we can never leave the truths of the manger behind. We can never leave behind the reality that God and the mystery of the incarnation, through the work of the Holy Spirit, conceiving in the Virgin Mary's womb, the Son of God who would become the Son of Man to save us. We can't leave that behind. And we can't leave behind the reality of the cross. That at that moment in time, that crossroads of time, God's mercy meets with his justice in Jesus Christ as he bore the weight and the wrath of God for the sins of his people. We can't leave that behind. And we can't leave behind the reality of the empty tomb. That forevermore that tomb is empty. Jesus has raised from the grave. He is no longer dead. He's alive in heaven interceding for his people. We know the joys of resurrection hope. We can't leave any of these things behind. So I ask us all the question this Christmas Eve. Has the experience of God's gift, has that truth, has it made lifelong worshipers out of us? So that we're watching for the Christ and the second coming of the Christ, and we're watching for his work out here in this world of his love as he's moving forward. Are we bearing witness to this truth as we go forth? And are we living lives of walking in the truth so that we live lives of worship? Whatever we do, wherever we go, however we are in this world, are we doing it to the glory of Almighty God? I ask us, have we received the Lord Jesus Christ? Then glory, hallelujah, the way that we move forward in life is we just keep on receiving the gift of peace. You know, if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, day by day, you stumble and you fumble and you bumble and you fall and you sin and you listen to the lies of the world that there are other gifts out there that are better than the divine gift. There are other gifts that will make your life easier, that will bring you peace. It won't be so costly. You know, the cost of discipleship to walk with the Lord. And we begin to turn away. That's the word of Satan, tempting us all away from the truth, the gift of Christ. There is no created gift that can give us the peace in our hearts that we so desperately need other than the uncreated gift, the eternal gift, Christ the Savior. Well, friends, I ask this evening, maybe you came here tonight not because you love the Lord, but because you love your family. And your family is one of those families that goes to church on Christmas Eve. And you didn't want to rock the boat. And so you came along. And maybe somewhere in the singing and the hearing of the Word of God and in the preaching, you have felt the pressing down upon your heart of the reality of the lack of peace that you have in your life. But your brain's telling you, I can't reach out for this Christ because I've just hurt too many people. And I've run too low to the ground in rebellion to ever be saved by the Lord of peace. Don't listen to that. That's a lie. Jesus came low to save people like you and me. I mean, think about it. There's no one too lowly. There's no one too unworthy. From the shepherds to the lepers, to the prostitutes and the thieves and the murderers, there's no one outside the Lord's ability to reach into and take a hold of and work his gift of peace into hearts and minds. So take him. Receive him. But you know, maybe you're here tonight and you think, you know what, I'm just okay. Things are good. I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm prosperous. I don't need the Rogaine yet. Life's pretty good. And you know what? I have a pretty good ethical system that I'm living by, and I think I can just make it and stand before the Lord, and of course he's going to receive me because I'm all right. I want to warn you, you're in a more dangerous place. Because you see, the sin of pride is pregnant with all kinds of sins that bring misery. And none of us can stand before the Holy One in and of ourselves, even with all of our pride, and make it through eternity. So the Lord calls us all tonight to come to him. And in the mystery and the wonder of holy worship and the reading and the preaching of the gospel, the Shepherd King is knocking on the door of your heart, even your prideful heart tonight. And he's saying, open up unto me. And he'll give you the gift of humility to receive the Prince of Peace, to know the joys of life in Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. Amen. Well, we want to respond to the Lord, to hear from his word as we read responsively. And then we're going to sing and enjoy the light of these candles and the warm fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. Our responsive reading comes from John 1 and 2 Corinthians 4. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's read responsively. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give praise.